Numbers chapter 21. And we're just going to try to obey the Lord this morning and ask God to help us. And just a message I feel in my heart. And you won't hurt my feelings if you say amen any or hallelujah. That's all right. You're able to say that. And that's like the old saying is, it's like putting gas on a fire. Amen. And we just appreciate you. I just want you to get in here and help us. And how many appreciates the Word of God? I love His Word. I really do. And Numbers chapter 21. And you're there. Just give me a good amen. All right. Numbers chapter 21, very familiar verses of Scripture we're going to read from. And we're going to start reading in verse 5, and we're going to go to verse 9. And this is what it says. Numbers 21, verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon the pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he had beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on look and live. And I was going to title it Living with a Fang-Shaped Scar. But I'm just going to say look and live, that we understand that today, preaching from this very familiar verse of Scripture, we would understand, and just a quick outline of this chapter in the Bible, when we come to the book of Numbers, chapter 21 and verse 1, we would understand that there was a conflict from the people of Canaanite, the Canaanite is people, and then we would understand in verses 2 and 3 that the children of Israel made a vow unto the Lord and said, "If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities." And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. So we would understand the very first three verses of number 21 is pretty much a conflict where the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and God answered the prayer and allowed them to win this very the strategic military victory here, and they utterly destroyed their enemy. And we would understand that when we come here to the next few verses of Scripture, is the verses we're going to preach from today. Before I get there today, let me lay a foundation and an introduction to you this morning that we can understand what I feel God has laid on my heart to preach to you today. You know the reason today is another Sunday. You know, we have one of these every week. We come to church. We put on our Sunday's vest. We come here and we sing a few songs, and you know we have some preaching. But you know the reason that it feels just like another Sunday this morning? It's been the reason it feels just like another Sunday today is because the stakes are not high enough for us to come here. And I'm going somewhere that we can come here and can understand the urgency of the hour. It's a time for preaching. It's a time for a meal afterwards today. We come here sometimes. Some people come to church, not saying that you're here. Some people come to church just to see friends, come to see family, come just maybe to go through the motions. But hear me today, when we come to Numbers chapter 21, it wasn't just another day for the children of Israel here. And in reality today, I want you to get this. This is just not another Sunday. This is not just another day that you come to church. This is not another day that we just go through the motions. This is not another day that you just sing a few hymns. Hear me today. In the spiritual realm, in reality, this is a very important day. And this is a very important moment. In reality today, there's some that are in this building, you may be lost and on your way to hell. You may be some in this building today that needs a touch of God to help sustain you another week. This isn't just another day, my friend. The Bible tells us this is the day of salvation. This day is salvation come to the house, for so much he is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Today is a privilege, and today is an opportunity. We are living in the day of salvation. today, even this morning. I know you may come and you see pews, you see a pulpit, you see a preacher, but I hope you understand that even this morning, this service is pulsating with potential that somebody could get the very touch that they need this morning. We're not here today just to come to church. Today is a special day. This moment is a very precious moment where somebody can leave this church here changed. Somebody can leave her today transformed. Somebody can leave her today restored. Somebody can leave her this morning completely healed. Somebody can leave her today just feeling just rejuvenated in the Spirit. We've got to quit treating our Sundays like it's just another day. Somebody say amen. It's not just another day. Somebody, I tell you, I feel the presence of God here this morning. I know what God's spoken to my spirit. I don't come to you today with just a sermon off the internet. I didn't come here today with just something out of a book. I didn't come here with my face plugged in a commentary all week. I'm telling you this morning, God has reminded my spirit that even this morning there is potential for some of you to leave here completely delivered, completely set free. It's very potential for that to happen this morning. But hear me today, if you come in here and just look around and you just say, look, I can't wait to get out of service to eat lunch, shame on you. You say, look, I can't wait, you know, I hope the preacher don't preach as long as Brother Davis did, or then shame on you. We come here today because God's good to us, because God's mercy is here, because God's grace is here, and we're looking for a moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you come here today just another day, you're dead. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I'm going to be glad about it. Another Sunday school lesson. That was pretty good, wasn't it? If that's your view, something's wrong. My Lord, come on now. Sometimes that alarm clock goes up and somebody, I've heard them say it before, you're not here, so don't worry about it. I ain't talking to you. If shoot fits, wear it. But anyhow, hear me today, friend. I've met them before. They say, well, I guess we got to go to church. Hear me. That should never be the perspective. Today is a special day. There is potential here today that somebody could get saved. Somebody could be restored. Somebody could be motivated. But hear me today. There's also a lot of potential here today that somebody could leave here lost, lukewarm, and rejecting the Bible. There's two potentials. Which side of the aisle are you going to fall on? Hear me today. Let's get into the preaching part. That was just an introduction I felt to throw at you there. But we come here in the Bible. Let's first look at this. God had just brought the children of Israel through a very, very marvelous victory. They cried upon the Lord and the Lord gave them victory. But all of a sudden we find out in Numbers 21 and 4 it says this, and they journeyed through Mount of Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Hear me today, friend. The reason here it is, the children of Israel just seen a great victory, but all of a sudden on the other side of that victory, they begin to complain unto the Lord Almighty. They had just experienced a powerful move, a great victory from the Lord, where they had utterly destroyed the Canaanites. This first victory encouraged the children of Israel, but it is one thing, hear me today, friend, it is one thing to win a battle. It's one thing for God to do something in your life when you witness the supernatural, when you witness God's divine hand in something, but it's another thing leaving there and walking the way in which God wants you to walk. Hear me today, friend. The children of Israel here seeing this great victory, but it's one thing to mount up with wings as eagles, and it's quite something else to walk and not faint. Hear me today, friend. Courage in the battle must be followed by endurance in the race. Hear me today, friend. Today, some of you probably have prayed to the Lord and you've seen the victories in your life. You notice that God's moving in your life. You know God that's touched you and strengthened you. You know some of you here today know that you're saved. But hear me, not only is it good to win a victory, but there's also a road you got to walk. There's a path that you got to take, and that is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses had led the people a different way because they did not have access to the land of the Edomites. Moses had to lead the people east of Edom, then north through the very difficult terrain. It did not take long before the difficulty of the march made the people impatient, and they started complaining again against the Lord. Hear me today, friend. I've witnessed this as a preacher. It's one thing, and it's an easy thing to see the battle won, but it's something else, my friend. It's easy for us to win the battle, but it's very easy for us to lose the victory. Oh my, come on now. Somebody will come to church and I've seen them weep. I've seen them weep on wooden altars, friends. Just even dyed the wood a different color. I've watched them do different things. I've watched drug addicts come and pray and know that God touched them and know God that brought them through something. I've watched perverts. I've even prayed for pedophiles. I've even prayed for those who I knew were lost and needed salvation. And I've watched them get touched on by the Lord. The Lord began to touch them and motivate them. But as soon as it came to walk in the road, God wanted them to walk. As soon as it come to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, it was a complete different thing. They thank God for the victory in the battle, but they begin to complain about God, about the road He wanted them to walk. Hear me today, friend. You've got to do more in this service than just get victory. You've got to learn to walk the road that God wants you to walk. Most people don't complain about God coming through and fighting their battles, but oh my, how the multitudes argue about the way in which God begins to lead them. Hear me today, friend. We are hate. God will do mighty things in your life when you ask Him. God will bring you through a lot of valleys. But just like the children of Israel, I have witnessed people that when God brings them through the valley, as soon as they hit the first difficult road, the first difficult thing, they begin to complain against the Lord. Hear me today, friend. Look at the sin of this complaint. This is what happened in the Bible. The anger, the frustration, and the hearts just begin to boil over inside of them. The children of Israel, yes, they've seen a victory, but all of a sudden they're going through a terrain. They're going around a different way. They didn't think they should be going. And all of a sudden it begins to boil over inside of them, and harsh words against the Lord and against Moses begin to come out of their hearts. Have you ever met anybody that's just about to boil over? Maybe you hadn't met nobody. I've met a few that I could tell all you would have to do is touch a certain button, and boy, it was just coming out. You know, when it's just boiling over in somebody, Brother Glenn, you know, you see them, and it don't take much. It just begins to flow out of them. Well, so and so this. Well, brother this, sister this. So it just begins to, all of a sudden, it's like it's about to tip over. It's just about to boil out of this. That's what happened to the children of Israel. Hear me today, friend. Dissatisfaction is a sure road to rebellion. Dissatisfaction is a sure road to rebellion. This sin here is threefold. I want you to get this. When they begin to complain, it was a threefold sin. The Bible says this. First, they begin to complain against God Himself. Kind of quiet in here this morning. Hello? All right. Hey, back to you. All right. Make sure we're in the same place. Hear me today, friend. They begin to complain against God Himself. And I know today, I'm looking at you, and you're a very smart group of people. I know that. I know. You don't think that about me, but I think that about you. I know today that there's nobody here that would just say, look, I wouldn't look at God and tell Him He was wrong. I mean, He's God. He knows everything. But hear me today, friend. When we speak against God, when we grumble against His providence and His way, it's the same thing as telling God that He's wrong. Come on, parents. You know what I'm talking about. You know, I wasn't brave enough to look at my dad in the eyes and tell him he was wrong. But there was a few things I would do that was opposite of what he said. And even though I didn't say it, I did it anyhow. And what I was pretty much saying was, I didn't believe nothing he just said. That's the same thing in the kingdom of God, my friend. Anytime you take the Word of God, anytime you take when God deals with you on something, and even though you wouldn't verbally express that, but your actions do something else, you're pretty much telling God, look, Lord, I didn't take what you said in your Word worth 2 cents. I didn't listen to nothing you said. Hear me today, friend. Their first sin was this. They sinned against God Himself. And then the Bible said, they sinned against the servant of God, which was Moses. Today, friend, when they begin to speak against Moses, they were really speaking against God. You know, the Bible talks about delegated authority. And I'm not saying that because I'm up here. But there was a few things. I had a few ministers in my life I disagreed with. But I didn't think twice about saying nothing to them. Now, I'm not talking about sinful things. But I'm talking about something we may have had a small disagreement with. I didn't go up the road because even in some of the old arenas I ran in, some folks I love dearly, but you know what? I would have been something else. There's a fear in my heart to say something against them because I know this. If I'm talking about them and end up wounding their influence and damaging them in the eyes of others, then I stand and would say the same thing as saying something against God Almighty. So the second thing was this. First they sinned against God, then they sinned against the servant of God, but then, hear me today, friend, they begin to complain against the provision of God. Now here it is, they're in the wilderness again, they're walking. And they're saying something like this, "Man, we ain't got nothing to eat." You know, kids will say that sometimes. "I'm starving to death." And you think you just ate a cheeseburger, got a Happy Meal, a fry, and played on the playground for 2 hours. You ain't starving to death. You know, be real, because fake is exhausting. Amen. Hear me today, friend. These people said, "We've got no bread. We've got no water." But in reality, every morning that manna would fall from heaven. It would come to them. God would provide for them. But you've got the children of Israel. Here it is. Their heart is against God's will. And they begin to despise His provision. And one part of the Bible says this. Their soul began to loathe the light bread. And in Numbers 11, in my own words, they're pretty much saying, "This bread is good for nothing." I learned on the mission field, when you eat rice long enough, you get sick of rice. But in reality, thank God for it. I didn't have no... One orphan never came to me and said, "That rice is nasty." Not one time. You know why? Because that is what they know that's keeping them alive. My Lord, my friends, what I feel like we're facing in the American church, we've gotten so used to the Word of God, we've gotten so used to the preaching, we've gotten so used to the singing, we've gotten so used to structures and building, we've gotten so used to TV preachers and radio preachers, and we've gotten so used to this. We look around and we act as if there's nothing good going on. We're pretty much like, "Lord, You ain't never moving for me. God, You ain't giving me nothing. God, there's nothing good that's going on." And in reality, every morning that you get up, God has provided for you. In reality, every day that you go here, God has got His mercy upon you. The children of Israel here, even though they had bread, they had provision, they looked around every day and they did not see any necessity. They did not see the goodness in which God gave them. And we would know in the New Testament, John chapter 6, the Bible tells us that the manna was more than just bread. It was a type of Jesus Christ. And what I'm afraid of today is this, that many people come to church and they don't even recognize a Jesus in everything they do. They feel like they are starving. They feel like God hadn't been good in some areas. And in reality, that bread, that Savior, Jesus Christ's mercy is new every single morning. You've got no reason to complain in here today. And you've got no reason to be dead. Amen. I've heard people say, I recently dealt with somebody, "If I move here, I know I could serve God." I said, "No, you can't. If you can't serve God where you're at right now, something's wrong, my friend." And I'm not saying there's not times you've got to make moves and transitions. But what I'm saying is this. Paul and Silas could serve God in a prison. I'm telling the apostles could serve God on the persecution. There ain't no reason you can't facilitate a move of God in your life. You can read and pray. That man is on the ground every morning. Hear me today, friend. The reason they complain is because they had gotten so accustomed to God. They had gotten so accustomed to Moses. And they had gotten so accustomed to the blessing that they could not witness the goodness of God. Now, let me tell you, you may not think at first that's that big of a deal. It is. You may not think this morning, "Well, maybe, look, I'm a little unaccustomed, I'm a little too accustomed to this." Hear me today, when the children of Israel began to complain against God, this was the consequence. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Hear me, this is what God did to them. In the past, God's judgment came with warning at times, but this time it was unexpected and sudden. They had rejected God's gift of life and health from from heaven. So God is now sending them pain and death from the earth. Hear me today, friend. This was the consequence. Anytime you have a full revelation and you have access to the goodness of God and the reality of God and you reject it, hear me today, friend. God at times will send trials, will send godly sorrows, and will send things to move you back towards Him. I bought this last night at Dollar General. And you can tell it ain't real. It's a snake. If you can't, that's what it is. I'll take my word for it. And they had some other ones, and I thought about putting throughout the sanctuary. I said, that might make a mess. Because what I'm trying to do today is this. I'm trying to get you to see the urgency of what it is when you come to church and you do not see the Lord. I'm trying to get you to witness today the urgency. We'll get back to the snake in a moment here. The idea today when it says a fiery serpent, and some ideas about this, but it's not so much the appearance of the serpent, but the bite of the serpent which sent a burning sensation through the veins. Hear me today, friend. I'm going to go back to my intro. You know what the reason it feels just like another Sunday morning? It's because the stakes are not high enough. Like I said earlier, it wasn't just another day for the people of Israel. Can you imagine you there in the desert, all of a sudden all these serpents appear, three or four of your family members have been bitten already, and one comes slithering up to you and bites you on the shin. Everybody's screaming, people are fainting, and people are dying. Do you think that was just a normal day? Just imagine if this was real. Now, if you have a problem with snakes, please, I'm not trying to... My wife's grandma really has an issue with this, even fake ones. So... But could you imagine today? I'm trying to get you to understand the urgency. If all of a sudden, Brother Neff, I'm going to use him as an example. If this snake was underneath his pew and it bit him in the leg. And all of a sudden, the word came and all of a sudden they said, the only way that you can live is if you see the serpent lifted up on a pole. We'll get into that in a moment. But can you imagine what Brother Neff would be like? I guarantee he wouldn't be there this morning, just sitting there just like, well, I appreciate that, you know, praise the Lord. Now put yourself in the situation. If the snake came and bit you today and you knew you were about to die, I know this is probably empty the building out. I know that. But put yourself in their situation in the Bible. They're bitten by snakes. They don't have an urgent care. They don't have Riverside Hospital to go to. They don't have Centurion to go to. They're in the middle of a desert and they're bit by a bunch of serpents and they're seeing you. What do they do? Hear me today, friend. Instantly after they were bitten by these serpents, this is what it says. This is therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. First thing they did was this, we have sinned. And then they did this, pray for us that this will be removed. Hear me today, friend. Even though you haven't been bitten by a snake today. And look, I'm not a snake handler. I hope you understand that. You hadn't been bitten by a snake today. There was a bite in the Garden of Eden from that old serpent, the devil. And he injected his venom in our veins. It is called sin. It's called being separated from God. And hear me today, friend. It's worse than dying physically. But it was another death dying spiritually. There, Adam and Eve in the garden. When that old serpent injected his veins and injected that venom showed up in your veins and you're born in sin, you're shaped in iniquity, and this is a very urgent day and an urgent service. If you're not saved in the service, you're better off getting bit by a cobra. Come on now. If you're not saved in the service, you're better off than walking into a rattlesnake and letting him bite you. Because there's something spiritual that is worse than dying physically. It's called dying spiritually. And what this bite did here, it caused them to cry out, we have sinned. We have sinned. Pray for us that this will be removed. This is where the people need to, we need to understand. If you're lost, there's something going on. If you feel the pain, you feel the bite of that old serpent, the emptiness you feel, the guilt that you feel, hear me today, friend, it should cause you to cry out. Hear me today, friend. I'm just going to obey the Lord. If you're here today and you're lost, you're lukewarm, or your spiritual life is dampened, and you've got all these different things going on, it ought to cause you to go to the only remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. It ought to cause you, hear me, my friend, I'm trying to explain this to you. All of a sudden, these folks are bitten by this serpent. All of a sudden, they're sitting there dying. They're crying unto Moses, something's got to give, something, help us. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, it shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Hear me today, friend. Hours have passed since you've been bitten, and suddenly you see in the distance a mob is forming around a pole, and the word's going through the camp. I hear, if you look at this pole, you will not die. One girl says to you with a measure of hope, curious, consumed, determined, and desperate, you jog, you run, you join to the crowd. Just hear me today, friend. This is how important this service is. If you don't see the Lord this service, you stand the chance of dying and not being saved. Hear me. If you're here to discourage this service, if you're here lukewarm, this service, you don't look. I know already we like to put everything in tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to pray. Tomorrow I'm going to fast. Tomorrow I'm going to get things right. Tomorrow I'm going to overcome this fornication. Tomorrow I'm going to overcome this addiction. Tomorrow I'm going to overcome this bitterness. Tomorrow I'm going to overcome this. Tomorrow I'll make things right. Tomorrow I will get saved. I'm telling you, friend, the children of Israel couldn't look at tomorrow and say, I'll do this. They said, I've got to look now. It's important now. If I don't see it now, I'm going to die. This is the issue. We've made Christianity a casual option, when in reality, this morning, it is life or death. My God, I feel the presence of God in here. I don't hear me today, friend. I'm telling you what I feel in my heart. This isn't say, look, A, B, C, D, D, you're circling. No, this today, you either look at the Savior, you either come to Him, or there is no hope for you. You've got to see the urgency. Just imagine if you were bitten all of a sudden. Just imagine if the serpent had bitten me that day. And I'm sitting there, I'm tired. I'm holding my arm where he bit me. All of a sudden, I'm in, it's all of a sudden I'm running. I don't stop to check my iPhone, do I? Come on, I'm serious. I mean, I've just been bitten. I'm going to die. I ain't going to stop and take a selfie on the way. I'm not going to stop to update my Facebook status and say, just got bitten, pray. Come on. You know I'm telling you, right? I ain't going to try to find an escape route in the service and say, look, you know what? Can you believe this is going on? This is Half Price. And I can't wait. Maybe we can go there on Monday, sweetie. That would be... No. You've missed it. You're in service today. And if you really have a proper view of life and death, you ain't going to be in this service. You ain't going to stop and say, well, look at that. Oh, what about this? Oh, I can't wait to eat. No, this is life or this is death. You've got to understand that today. You've made it an option when God never made it an option. You made it non-priority when God makes it the priority. You said, I'll wait till I'm a certain age. When God said, no, you do it right now. You've got to understand that this is an urgent hour and this is an urgent message. And we got some teenagers in this room. Hear me. I ain't but 27. Please. And it took me 5 years to get out of high school. Look, I'm closer to you than you think I am. I graduated in 2007. I'm not dumb. I can look in eyes of young people and tell if they're really serving God or not. And you say, look, I don't even base it by the dress. I'm talking about their eyes. You can tell who has a sensitive heart. You can tell who has a rebellious heart. Hear me, young people. This isn't, I'll wait till I'm 20. No, this is look and live. I could take you to a prison right now where my best friends murdered a man who said he thought to himself, I'll wait till I'm 19 and 20. But he's facing time for killing a man because he didn't see the urgency. I'm telling you, look and live. I could take you to some places where somebody's pregnant, don't have a husband, and never got married. You know why? They say, I'll look and live later. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. When in reality, God says, no, I want to help you right now. I want to touch you this service. I'm not, no, you say, what about tonight, brother? I'm not worried about tonight. I'm talking about right now. Some of you would be content with the venom running through your veins. I'm telling you, these people seem the urgency. I'm trying to get you to understand this today. No, you don't stop. You run. You fight through the crowds. You stare a hole through that bronze serpent. And as time stands still, you feel with every passing second the healing flow from your veins. And you have failed to hear me today, friend. These people were bitten by the serpent. And they realized there was only one remedy. And they had to get there. I'm going to reiterate that. One remedy. Come on. One remedy. You say, well, there's a program up there. I don't care about that program. There's only one remedy. You'll say, well, if I talk to... And I'm not... You know, you're still missing it. You ain't got to talk to nobody. You ain't got to go here and go there. The place you need to go is to the Savior. Look here, my friend, hear me today. This is a look and live service. I prayed about this service before I got here. And God placed it in my heart that for some in the service, it's going to be a look and live opportunity. Can you imagine as that snake bit these people? Can you just imagine as maybe somebody's laying there on the ground and that vein's running through their body and all of a sudden they feel their body begin to swell up. They feel their eyes are beginning to swell shut. And maybe they only got one eye left open and they're sitting there and know they're about to die. They know that there's no life there. They know that they're on their way out of there. Can you imagine if somebody's laying there on that dead old sandy ground and they just got one eye open and all of a sudden at that moment Moses comes by and he's got that serpent on that pole there. He's got that brazen serpent and that man laying there in that sand. He's able to cast a glimpse over with faith and with believing. He's able to look over at that serpent and all of a sudden everything's alright. All of a sudden he feels the venom begin to lose its strength. He begins to feel the power of that serpent begin to lose its ability to kill him, all because he's looked. You may be here this service and you only got one eye open. You've allowed that old serpent to drive you to the place. You don't even really have the strength to get up and walk to this altar. You really do, but hear me. You feel like, nah, I cannot be saved. You feel like the venom's already went too far. You feel like you're just about to give up and die. You feel like it's just about to take its full course on you. I'm telling you today, friend, if you ain't got the one spiritual eye left, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. It doesn't matter how bad the situation is. When the Savior comes by, look to Him and you can live. We look at this and we know immediately the Bible tells us the people here were not concerned about what Moses was wearing, were they? I don't see somebody bitten going up to Moses and say, man, I don't like your shirt. I don't like the way you said that, Moses. I don't believe somebody looked at Moses up there holding that pole and says, man, you know what? I don't like the way he's holding the pole. You get what I'm trying to say? I don't care if it's Brother Neff or Brother Glenn. Myself, or I could take you to West Virginia to a few preachers that can preach. They have their wives read the Bible for them and they'll preach what their wife reads. Because their country's all get out. Just a country church. I don't care if it comes from them. Whoever it comes from, look at it. Whoever the message of hope comes from, look at it. If it's a message about Jesus and telling you to get sin out of your life and put your faith in Him, gaze upon Jesus. Don't gaze upon Moses. Amen. Sometimes we get so caught up with the Moseses in this world, we never see the Jesus. Here we pray. Can you imagine someone laying there, as I said? They begin to look over. Let's move along in this. John 3 and 14 says this. And this is Jesus giving us the fulfillment of these texts. He says in John 3 and 14, And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For guess what? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The most famous verse in the Bible is tied to Numbers 21. If, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent. You know what I'm doing this morning? I'm lifting up Jesus to the best of my ability. And some doze off while you do it, but that's all right. I'm lifting Him up to the best of my ability. It's not up to me to drag you over to Jesus and say, look at Him. You better get some get up and go in yourself and do it yourself. No, we get so infatuated. You know, Jesus will go after every little lost lamb in the Bible. And Jesus even told us about that woman that swept the house diligently and she found the coin. But what about the prodigal son? The father didn't go get him. He said, get out the hog pen yourself and come. Come on now. Sometimes you're waiting for Jesus to come to you. You better come to Him. Look and live. Look and live. We look at this today. We would understand that Jesus compared Himself to this. Hear me today. All of us have been bitten at one time, but all of us have to look to Jesus. Jesus was nailed to the tree by the will of God. And hear me today, friend. You've got to do more than just take a quick glance at the Lord. You ever take a quick glance at something? There's sometimes my wife will tell me to take a glance at something I have no interest in. And I don't mean that bad, but I do the same thing to her. I said, did you see that building they were building? She said, I don't even know what you're talking about. She'll say, Derek, can you glance at this? Look at this. And I said, that's sweet. That's nice. She'll come to me 5 minutes later and say, what did you think about this? I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's not that, it's just at that moment, I had no interest in that, whatever it was. It could have been something girly. I don't know. But when you really gaze at something and you begin to analyze something, you take it all in and you learn a little something about what you're looking at. You've got to do more. Hear me today, friend. You've got to do more than just come to church and take a glance at the Lord. The Lord's wanting you to gaze upon Him. You ever heard somebody say you need to survey the cross? You ever seen a surveyor? I mean, they've got instruments. They got tape measures. They got workers. They got lasers. You know what they're doing? They're surveying a piece of property and they're going to tell you all you need to know about it before it's all said and done. You know what you need to do this service? You need to survey the cross. Don't you just glance at it. But some of you need to lock in, view heaven, look at the cross. And I would love for you to come back next services. You know why I was looking at the cross? I lived. And not only did I live, but I found out so much more about the Savior. As my wife comes to the piano today, I just want you to understand this today. And I don't want to lose the reverence of the service. But I know what I feel in my spirit. Some of you this service need to look and you need to live. And not only that, I want to tell you, it works. Can anybody that's born again say it works? I was going to title this, Living with a Fang-Shaped Scar. And the Bible doesn't give us no emphasis on this, so I'm like sight and sound. I'll take my own liberty. Can you imagine if some of these people lived that day? And I know God heals. He can heal a scar. I'm not saying that. But can you imagine? This is just my imagination. You preach it the way you want to. Can you imagine what it would be like some of them living and looking down on their wrist or looking down at their ankle and seeing a little fang shaped scar and saying, you know what? I was bitten, but I lived. I look at the scar and I recognize that I should have died, but I lived. You know what? I've got a few scars from my past life that occasionally I look at them. But every time I look at the scar, I don't see the failure. I see the Savior. And I realize, look, you know what? I should have died. I shouldn't be here. But I lived. I lived. I'll tell you a quick story and then we'll open these altars. But there was a young boy years ago in the 1800s. There was a young boy that one morning he was walking along and it began to snow profusely. It was snowing, if I ain't mistaken, if I remember the complete story, it snowed like 2 or 3 foot deep. And this young boy that was walking down this road, he was freezing. He was cold, and all of a sudden he seen a church over there and he seen the smokestack going. So he went up to the door of that church and he said, "You know what? I'm just going to sit inside this church here until the snow quits and I can get going." As that young boy is sitting there in that service, all of a sudden there was only one or two people in the service. All of a sudden, when it was time for the service to start, I think there was like 7 to 10 people in the service and no pastor. The pastor got snowed in. He couldn't make it. But little did that boy know that God had a divine appointment for him. Because there was a deacon member of that church that was not going to be able to make it that day. But he felt the Holy Ghost touch his heart and said, "You know what? I feel like I need to go." So that this deacon member, he treaded through 3 foot of snow. He walked for miles, I think it was 3 miles through the snow, till he finally got to where this church was. He went in there and to his surprise, no pastor. And all of a sudden, it came time for church service to start. He looked around at the 7 or 8 people and that little boy. He said, "My Lord, I'm going to have to preach." And any deacon ever felt that? So all of a sudden, he gets up there and he opens his Bible. He preaches a whole long 7-minute sermon. And he gets down off that platform. And he said, "Well, I thank y'all for coming today." And he looked over at that little boy. He said, "Young man," he said, "I'm just going to be honest," a 15-year-old boy. He said, "Young man, I'm just going to be honest with you today." He said, "You look like you're living a miserable life." That 15-year-old boy said, "Sir, you have no clue. I'm miserable. My sins are before me. I'm a miserable young man." Then lifting up his hands, the deacon shouted as loud as he could, "Young man, you need to look to Jesus Christ." He said, "Look. Look, look, you have nothing to do but look and live." This young man says, all of a sudden, there was no fireworks, there was nothing special. All of a sudden, I looked and salvation came. Has anybody ever heard of a preacher by the name of Charles Hayden Spurgeon? Anybody? That's how Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, got saved. It wasn't at a camp meeting. It wasn't a special TBN preacher laying his hands on him. He simply looked. And he said, when he looked, nothing special as far as the world would see. He said, but I felt life. He said, my sins, literally they melted away like it was snow. He said, God put a smile on my face. And he reached at times thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. I want to tell you today, it's not complicated. Look and live as you stand to your feet. And I know it's a little bit of a different service when you're dealing with those that need to look and live.